Yeah, so it's things are very volatile at the moment. On Monday night, the Kuppershal Stocker here in Gimel took five Rabbonim up north to Tveria to daven at the Kever of the Shlom for people who donated money towards the Kuppah. So I went there on Monday night. It was late, very late. And on the way back, it was very frightening, actually. On the way back, on the main highway, there was a group of 20 or 30 Arabs that almost blocked the entire road with big bonfires on the main highway. I mean, a box that we got through.
Which highway was this?
Coming from Tveria.
Coming from Tveria. Oh, the 90?
I'm not sure if that's the 90 or the 6. I'm not sure.
Oh, this, the 6. That's a toll road. That's.
Yes, I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe it wasn't the 6. It was very frightening because we almost ended up with this whole group of Arabs, which you would not want to end up there. Yeah, we need Basura Taylor. So we're going to do Chazara today of the last daf, which has been a complicated sugyan. I think Chazara will be a good thing. Especially as this, I guess, is the last time before Shavuos. We began on the Mishnah, the Chav Beis Samad Aleph, Hayoymeid B'Tfilo. Chav Beis Samad Aleph. Chav Beis Samad Beis, excuse me. By the way, is anybody being in contact with Nathan? Is he okay? In the middle of davening, he remembers that he was a balkari. Lo yafsik. He should not stop davening. Elo rather yikatzer. He should just continue, but say the brief version of davening. He should say the brief version of davening. Yorad litboil. If you entered into the mikvah to tovel himself. Im yochel lalos v'leskaseis v'likros ad shaloite hanetza chamo. We have not really discussed this at length. But if he's able, he's in the sea or in the mikvah, and he notices it's very late, time for Kriya Shema, if he's able to get out, then he should try and do that, obviously. Ad shaloite hanetza chamo ya'ala v'yiskase v'yikros. So he should go up, he should get dressed, and he should read Kriya Shema. V'im lav, so then he should just cover himself with the water and he should recite Krishma whilst actually in the water. But below Yiskaser, he should not cover himself with water that is bad smelling or dirty, that's not covered. Until he puts water in it, which we'll have to discuss how does that solve the problem. And then become a yarchik mehen uminat soya arba amos. This is a new halacha. How far do you have to distance yourself from something like this, which has a bad smell, before you say kriya shema for amos? Says the Gemara. Tana rabbanan. Hoyoimi betfila v'nizka shu balkeri. He remembers he's a balkeri. Lo yafsik. Do not stop. You shouldn't have begun, but now that you have, do not stop. Elo yikatze. Hoyokoyre batoyra. Says the Braisa, v'nizka shu balkeri. Rashi says Magamgein means you just continue reading quickly. Balkeri should not read in the Torah more than three psukim. Now, Tanya Idach, if he was in the middle of davening and he saw tsoya in front of him, Mahalach Lafonov, Achiz Rakanal Acharov, Dalad Amos, until he finds a tsoya behind him, Dalad Amos, v'hotanya, and yet we have a different braisa that says that it's dodim. It doesn't need, the tsoya doesn't need to be behind him, as long as it's not in front of him, even at the side, is also okay. Says the Gemara loy kasha. Ha de efsha, ha de loy efsha. If it's possible, wonderful. But if it's not, then it's okay if the tsoya is at the side. But ideally, it should be not only not in front of you, but it shouldn't even be at the side either. What happens if he was davening and to his horror afterwards he saw that there was tzoya there? Or in the middle of davening. Even though he shouldn't have done that, he should have checked first, but his davening is considered a davening. Surely we have a posset that says, the sacrifice of a Roshoim is an abomination. So too his tefillah should be considered an abomination if it was davened in this manner. El Omar Rabbi, you're quite right. Hoil the Chatam, Afal Pishis, Palel, Tfilosai Te'evo. If a person davens in a place where he could have suspected there was Tzoya, you cannot say he's blameless and he didn't bother checking, he's not Yetzir, his Tfilah, and the Tfilah is a Te'evo. Tola Rabbanon, Hoyo Imid, Bitfilo, Umayim, Shaisa Sinal Birkov. Remember, we learned this sugya, great length. He was in the middle of davening, and the meiraglaim is now leaving his goof as he is davening. Poisik, he should stop. Ad sheyichlu hamayim, until it finishes, and then v'chayzur mispalel. Then he should go back to daven. Now, what does that mean? He should go back to daven. Leheichon chayzur. Where should he go back to? A machlokes. Rav Chista, Rav Hanan. Chad omar chayzur l'roish. One opinion says he should go back all the way back to the beginning of davening. The Chadomar Lemakoim Sheposak, to the place where he left. So let's say this is the discussion, top of the Yomad. Mar Sovaim Shoho Kedelig Moires Kulo. Let's suggest we're talking about that the pause was so long that he could have finished the entire Shmoneh Esra in that time. And one opinion therefore says, Chayzel Roish, Umar Sovada, no, Lemakoim Sheposak. Omar Rashi, no. Hi, im shoho, im lo yisho mi boile. Then it should have given me two options. What happens if he has a lengthy pause? What happens if he doesn't have a lengthy pause? Hello, the kule alma. Everybody agrees that im shoho kedei ligmoir is kulo chayzer l'roish. Everybody agrees that if it's a very, very lengthy pause, then he's got to go all the way back to the beginning. But the lo yisho kamiflik. We're talking about a shorter pause. Mar sova gavra duchuyohi. One says that the person himself is not fitting to daven. Why is he unfit to daven? Because he has meiraglaim leaving his goof, and therefore ve'ein ra'u ve'ein tfilo, so it's tfilo, and if he's going to go back, Umar said, no, gavra chazia, that's called the person himself is fitting. The fact that there's meiraglaim around him is not his issue, and therefore tfilo, so it's tfilo. You remember we discussed at great length, remember the prism shayla, the guy who lost his megillah in the middle, and there's a very long pause, how long, etc., etc., etc. First wide line. Toma Rabbonon ha-nitzrach le-nakobov. If somebody needs to be excused, al yispalel vim hispalel tfilosei te'evo. Just give me 2 seconds. Yeah, so he should not daven if he's in this state. Then his palel, then tfilosoi te'eva. Omer Rav Zvid, the tamer of Yudah loishanu, elo she'en yochoy l'shoyis ba'atzmai. That's only talking about in a place where he literally is holding himself in, that's not a covet. Aval im yochoy l'shoyis ba'atzmai, if he's able, he is able to hold it, he's not desperately in need to relieve himself, then tfilosoi tfilo. Now, what does that mean he's able? How long is he able for? He can't go on forever. Va'ad kamo, omerav sheishes, ad paraso. Until a paraso. Paraso is 72 minutes. If he's able to hold himself in for 72 minutes, then indeed that would not render his tefillah possible. As we said, if you remember, I think we saw the halach of this, certainly lechatchila, he should have gone before the Shemayna Esra. But at least if he's able to hold himself 72 minutes, then it will be considered okay, at least with the other. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. Says the Gemara, Ikka de Masni lo Masnisa. Some learned this version slightly differently. Bamed dvarim amurim kashein yochoy lamoid al atzmoy. If he's not able to hold himself from yochoy lamoid al atzmoy, then tfilosai tfilo, v'ad kamom rav zvid ad parso. Okay. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeini, Omer Rav Yonason, ha-nitzrach le-nakovov, harizeh lo yispalel, as we said before, a person needs to be excused, should not daven. Shenemar, hikoin likras Elokecha Yisrael. Hikoin literally translated means you should prepare yourself. A person should prepare himself as he approaches, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is taken to be a reference, therefore you should prepare yourself, meaning you should prepare your guf before davening. That's what you should do before you approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before you begin davening. Says the Gemara of Omer Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeini, Omar of Yonasan, my diksiv, Shmoir Raglecha Kasher Telech El Beis Elokim. So literally translated, this is a pasuk in Koheles. Literally translated, it means guard your feet as you go to the Beis Elokim, the house of God. Now, what does that mean? So we're going to soon see, that's why the Gemara is mentioning it. Again, it's going to be a reference to what we're discussing. Regard your feet, meaning guard your goof. But until then, the Gemara had a different interpretation. And the Gemara says, what does this pasuk mean? Shemoir atzmacha shaloi techeta. Guard yourself so that you shall not sin. Ve'im techeta hovi korban lafonai. And if you do sin, bring a korban before me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'koroi v'lishmoya. What does that mean? Omer Rava, have a koroi v'lishmoya divrei chachomim. This is the continuation of the pasuk. Listen to the words of chachomim. She'im choytim me'vim korban. The chachomim are the ones who are telling you that if you sin, you must bring a korban. And v'oisim tshuva. Make sure that this is accompanied by tshuva. There's no point in bringing a korban and not being chayzer b'tshuva. Rather do that, miteis haksilim zevach. Ksilim as foolish people, don't be foolish. Al tehi keksilim, don't be like the foolish ones, shechoytim umeviim korban, ve'ein oisim tshuva. They think that if you bring the korban, that's also some magic wand and that does the trick. It doesn't. It's got to be accompanied by tshuva. Continues the Gemara. Ki einam yoidim la'asos ra, quote unquote, that literally translated, they do not know to do evil. What does that mean? They don't know to do evil. They're big tzaddikim, so why are they bringing karbonis then? Yochi tzaddikim ninu. Or if they don't know to do evil, they're tzaddikim. Why are they bringing karbonis? Ela al tiu kiksilim, what it means is, don't be like the foolish ones, shechaitim who sin. They don't quite know why they're bringing the korban. Don't be one of those. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bein Toiv L'ra, Ein Mavchinim. V'hei Mavim Korban Afonai. They're not able to discern the difference between good and evil, and they're busy bringing a korban. Says the Gemara, this is now our subject. That was a little tangential, but now this is back to our subject. Rav Ashi v'item Rav Chanina b'papa Omar, what it means is, Shmoir nekavecho, b'shoa sh'ata oimed b'tfila lefonai. Guard your legs, meaning guard your bodily functions before you approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tfila. Now, very often, we have a piece of Gemara like this, where the Gemara learns or derives it from a pasuk in the Novi. It's not a proper drosha. It's not a real drosha, meaning it's not a halacha d'oraisa. It just means it's like a remez, as it were, in the pasuk. It's a remez in the pasuk to the subject that we're discussing. Tana Rabbanon, this was the main subject that we've discussed now for a couple of weeks. Hanichnas lebeis akisei, choyleitz tfilov, berichuk dalad amois v'nichnas. If somebody wants to enter the Beis HaKisei and he's wearing tefillin, he must first remove his tefillin 4 amos away from the Beis HaKisei, and only then, v'nichnas, may he then, at the end, enter. Omer v'achaba aravunam rav sheshes lo ishon u'el Beis HaKisei kavua. That's only true if it's a Beis HaKisei kavua. Al Beis HaKisei arai, choyletz v'nifla la'alta. He does not need to remove them 4 amas away, he can remove them right there and then. But once he's left there, he has now made this place into a Beis HaKisei. So therefore, don't put the tefillin on immediately. Marchik dalad amas, and then umanichon, and then put them back on. Mipnei sha'osoi Beis HaKisei kavua, because he has now made it into a Beis HaKisei kavua. Ibo Elohu. Mahu, says the Gemara, the following shayla. Mahu sheyikones odom betfilin lebeis hakisei kavua lahashtin mayim. is a person allowed to enter the tefillin with tefillin to a beis akise kavua to be mashtin mayim? Machloikas, Ravina Shori and Ravada Bamasna Osa. Osu Shaila Rava de Astra, Vamanahu Osa, Chayshinon Shemo Yifne Bohen. Because we are concerned that if he is initially mashtin, then he might end up excusing himself with Gedolim as well, and that's the real Bezoyim. Of Omri Elo Shemo Yofiach Bohen, or maybe he will not be able to retain a guf knocking. Tanya Idach, now this is the Machloikas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that we were very busy with. Tanya Idach HaNichnas LeBeis HaKisei Kavua Choylet Tfilin BeRichuk Dalad Amas. You've got to remove your tefillin and do what with them? U'manichon B'chaloi Nasomuch L'Rishus HaRabim V'Nichnas. So Beis Shammai does not allow you to enter the Beis HaKisei with your tefillin. You've got to remove them and leave them outside. You've got to leave them in the window, on the street side of the window. As we said before, when he leaves, he's got to distance himself four amas and then put the tefillin back on, but not before. Divrei Beis Shammai. All of that is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara Beis Hillel Oimrim, no. Oichazon beyodoi v'nichnas. This was the famous opinion of a Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to hold the tefillin in your hand and enter the Beis HaKisei and be mashed in there. Rabbi Akiva Omer, oichazon b'bigdoi. Shouldn't hold them in your hand. They should be clutched under your beged, the nichnas, says the Gemara, b'bigdoi. How can that be? Well, you're going to stuff it underneath your beged? That's a very risky thing. Maybe the big day salkadatov. Do you really think that means literally your beged zimnin mitshali lahu? Maybe he'll forget that they're there because he's not really holding them. Vanofli, and they'll slip down from underneath his begodim. Elaima, what it means is oichazon bebigdoi ubeyodoi. He should be holding them in his hand, but underneath his beged, the nichnas, and then. And then you put them in the hole on the Beis HaKisei side, not on the Rosh HaRabim side. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Why not? Because maybe some passers-by will take the tefillin. And people will be very suspicious. Why is he walking around without tefillin? They won't know that his tefillin had been stolen. Says the Gemara, there was a very scary story. There was somebody who's put his tefillin on the street side of the hole. And this woman came along, she was a harlot, a zayna. She took them. And she turns up in the Beis HaMedrash very viciously. Varomer, and she announces there in the Beis HaMedrash, look whose tefillin I'm holding. Ra'u ma nosam li ploini b'schari. Look what this person has given me to pay me for my services. Kiven sheshoma oisei talmid kach. Once this talmid heard this, obviously he was completely innocent. He had done nothing wrong. She had stolen this tefillin and then started spreading malicious rumors about him. He was so distraught about the rumors that were put out about him that he went up to the roof, he jumped off and he died. At that moment, they decided, better to enter with the tefillin than to leave them lying outside. If you leave them lying outside, look at the tragic consequences of this particular story. Says the Gemara, Omar, Tana Rabbanon, Bari Shoino, in the beginning, they used to put them in the window on the Beis HaKisei side of things, meaning on the inside. The problem was, it wasn't a very clean place. Ubo Achbarim, vermin used to come, rats, and oit denoisa. So then his skin was shimanichinoisa bachalainesa smuchadus rishus harabim. So then they said, you better put it on the other side, on the street side of things. That was also a problem. Uboyin oivri drachim benoitlam. But then people, passers-by came to steal them. So you don't really have much of an option. Inside, the rats come. Outside, the passers-by come. So therefore, they decided, you've got to actually hold them in your hand, and that will be permitted. What you should do is you should wrap them, come in safer. Hold them in your hand against your heart. But the ritzuos should not be sticking out of your hand a tefach's worth. They should be completely wrapped up within your hand. That's all talking about that you still have time in the day to wear the tefillin. So at the moment, the tefillin are not being worn, but you'll have time when you come out of the Beis HaKisei, then to wear the tefillin properly. However, so you've got to wear them now. But if you've got to wear them now, we're in trouble. Why are we in trouble? Because he's in the Beis HaKisei. So even according to the most lenient opinions, i.e. Beis Hillel, the Beis Hillel surely only allowed you to bring in the tefillin whilst they're in your hand, but not wearing them. But this person has to wear them. Why does he have to wear them? Because he hasn't got time to put on tefillin after. So what should he do? So you remember, this is what the Eitzah we saw. Oyselohem kimin kis tefach. He should make a covering for them with a tefach space and then a manichon, and then put them on. So if you've got a tefach space, that's a chatzitza. So it's as if the tefillin are not really inside the bathroom, rather they are inside this tefach-sized box. As we said before, Balaylo, when he takes them off at night, where should he put them? He can put them on the floor. Once again, it will be considered a bezoyin just to dump your tefillin on the floor, but if they are inside a box on the floor, then that will be okay, as long as the box is the size of a tefach. That's all true if the kli is the kli that particularly pertains to the tefillin. Therefore, you need a tefach space. If you remember, we discussed this last time. The kli of the tefillin, which means a tefillin box, that will be bottled to the tefillin. So if there's no space of a tefach, we will not view that as an independent rishus. But if it is a different keli, you take your tefillin and you put them in a completely different box, then even if the box is hugging the tefillin and there is no tefach space, that will still be considered a separate rishus. Where do we see that? Says the Gemara, we see a precedent for that. Omar azutra v'teimer avashi teda, I'll bring you a proof. Sharei pachim ketanim matzilim ba'oil hameis. You see that even in the oil hameis, we have halachas of tuma v'taira. So there also, if you have a tefach space, you have a tuma inside a kli, if there is a tefach space as a lid, that will act as a chatzitza, such that everything inside the kli is now not considered to be in the oil hameis, rather is considered to be in a completely separate rishus, and therefore will not become tomei. So you see once again this principle, that if there's a gap of a tefach, that now is considered a independent rishus. Says the Gemara, v'omer Rabba Bar Chana, ki ava ozlinon basrei de Rabbi Yochanan. When I was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, ki ava boi lemeyal lebeis hakisei, when he wanted to enter the Beis HaKisei, ki have a nokit safra da agadata, if he was holding a safra, some sort of sefer, have a yohelon, so he gave it to me for safekeeping. But ki have a nokit tefillin, lo have a yohelon. But when he was holding tefillin, then he did not give it to me. That's rather strange. He was more makel with tefillin? Yes. Oma hoyel b'sharu rabbonon, because the Rabbonon permitted it, as we've said, you're allowed to bring your tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, so I'm no longer worried. Nanatron, they will surely guard me, and I've got nothing to worry about. Omar Rava, the same story. Again, when he was holding a sefer, Yohev Lon, you'd give it to me for safekeeping. Ki Avanokit Tfilim, Lo Yohev Lon, Hoyel Vesharuru, Rabonon, Nenatron, they will guard me. I've got nothing to be worried. Tana Rabonon, Lo Yoichez Odom Tfilim Beyodoi. Do not hold a tefillin in your hand. The Sefer Torah Bezroyoi, V'Yispalo. Don't hold anything in your hand. Even a Sefer Torah. Why? Because it will spoil your concentration. V'lo yashtin bohen mayim. Neither should you be mashtin bohen mayim. V'lo yishan bohen lo yishenes kelev lo yishenes arai. Do not sleep in them at all. Omar Shmuel sakim imoyis uka'ora v'kikah. A knife, money, a bowl, or a loaf of bread. Harielu kiyetzavayim. That's the same thing. Do not be holding them whilst you're davening. Why? Because all of these items, you would not want to drop them. If you're holding a pencil in your hand, you're not so concerned. If you're holding a knife or a money, for example, you would not want them to drop on your floor, on the floor, for obvious reasons. Now, what did it say in that braisa? That you're not allowed to be mashtin whilst wearing the tefillin. Oh, Omar of Sheshes, less hilchasa ki homas nisim. Then the halacha does not follow that particular mishnah. Why not? The Beis Shammai, because it's Beis Shammai. The Beis Hillel, hashta Beis Akise kavu ashari. If Beis Hillel allows you to actually enter the Beis Akise kavua, Beis Akise arai miboya, surely he will allow you to enter the Beis Akise arai and be mashtin. And if it says you're not allowed to be mashtin, that would not fit in with Beis Hillel. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have now learned the sugya, and we know the real answer to that question. But actually, Beis Akise Kavua is more kal. Beis Akise Arai, almost paradoxically, is more chomor because of the whole nitzotzotz, droplets of water that we saw yesterday. Says the Gemara Meisei, one second, we had this riddle. Remember the riddle? Dvorim she'tarati l'chokan, osarati l'chokan. That which is mutah here is also there. Very vague. What does that mean? My love, tefillin. Doesn't it mean it's referring to tefillin? And it means as follows. Yomrit b'shtayma b'yselel. I could explain this according to b'yselel and say, hitarati l'chokan. It was mutah in the Beis Akise kavua. Osarati l'chokan, Beis Akise arai. Ela yomrit b'shamai. That can't be because haloi shorv loy midi. Beis Shammai didn't permit anything anywhere. So it doesn't make sense to say that which was permitted here is prohibited there. According to Beis Shammai, nothing is permitted. So it must be going according to Beis Hillel, and it's telling you, even though it's permitted in the Beis Akise Kavua, but it is prohibited in the Beis Akise Arai. So if that's the case, then it turns out that it really is halacha lemaisa that to be mashed in the Beis Akise Arai is also. Unless, says the Gemara, you explain it differently. Ki Tanya, he is a different matter. Linyan Tefach v'tfochayim. It's a different subject, nothing to do with tefillin. The Tony Chada, we have one Bryce that says, Keshu Nifne, when he's relieving himself, Megale la'acharov Tefach, behind him a Tefach, v'lefonov tfochayim. V'tanyidach la'acharov Tefach, v'lefonov v'loy klum. Behind him one tefach and in front of him nothing at all. Now, how do we reconcile those two contradictory braises? My lav idi v'idi be'ish. Wouldn't it be true to say we're both talking about a male? V'loi kashya kan l'gudaylim v'kan l'ktanim. For ktanim, obviously you need l'fonov. Says the Gemara, that wouldn't make sense for tisbara. Iba ktanim la'acharov tefach l'moli. Why would he have to have a tefach behind him? Elo idi idi v'gudaylim. An ish would need to be megale lefonov, an isha would not be, says the Gemara. One second. Ihochi hodik tonya lo zeu kalvachemesh enoloy tshuva. My enoloy tshuva. Well, the Gemara said that this din has a big kasha on it, irrefutable. Why is it irrefutable? Darka de milsa hochi isa. That is the norm. It makes perfect sense that an isha would not need to be Megale Lefonov, an ish would be. What's so difficult to understand about that? Why is there a huge kasha on it? So we have to go back to tefillin. Elo lav, the riddle was not referring to the Tefach and Tfochaim. Rather, the riddle is referring to tefillin. And what do you see? That it's osa to be mashtin and a besakise aray. So why did Rava in the name of Rav Shesha say this is not the halacha? It is the halacha. You're not allowed to be mashtin and a besakise aray. Says the Gemara, but tiyuvta de Rava omar Rav Sheshes tiyuvta. So Rava in the name of Rav Sheshes is completely disproven. Why did he say this is not the halacha? It in fact is the halacha. You see in this brisa that you are not allowed to be mashed in whole in with wearing the tefillin. Says the Gemara, mikol mokin kasha. But what really is the pshat? Hashta beis akisei kavua shari. If it is mutan beis akisei kavua, beis akisei arai leikol shekein. Obviously, if it's mutter in the kavua, surely it should be mutter in the arai. Says the Gemara, no. Hochi komar, beis akise kavua deleke nitzoitzois, sorry. Beis akise arai deike nitzoitzois, ostri. Remember we saw, Rashi explained, we never want a person leaving a beis akise with nitzoitzois on his shoes. People will say he's incapable of having children, and if he has children nonetheless, there's a chashash that they are mamzerim. So he's going to have to wipe them off. But how can he possibly wipe off the miraglayim if he's got tefillin in his hand? That is a chashash in the beis akise arai, not in the beis akise kavua. So it makes perfect sense. Says the Gemara in conclusion, well, if it makes such good sense, yochi amai eino lov tshuva. So why are you telling me that there's no retort, there's no explanation? You just told me a beautiful explanation. Tshuva malaisehi. You told me a wonderful explanation. Says the Gemara, hochi koma. Ha milsa, if you're ever going to announce this halacha, bring it with the reasoning. But don't bring it. Why not? Then really, if you present it as kal and chomor, so what will everybody say? Everybody will reach the wrong conclusion. They'll say kal and chomor, a beis akise arai is surely more kal than a beis akise kavua, which is more chomor. In which case, this whole halacha doesn't make sense. So that's not the way to present the shir. What is the way to present the shir? You've got to offer the explanation. Forget kal, forget chomor, it's all irrelevant. Beis akisei arai has this specific chashash of nitzoitzos, therefore we don't want you to be wearing your tefillin because how are you going to clean them off, the nitzoitzos, whilst tefillin in your hand? Beis akisei kavua, where there are no nitzoitzos, it's therefore not an issue at all. Okay, that was a little bit quick. I know, but it's Chazara and it's fresh. Next time, it's Hashem, we'll begin the new Gemara, and I guess that'll be the day after Shavuos, am I right? So normally we don't learn on Thursdays, unless people want to learn on Sunday, Erev Yom Tov. We'll see. I'll be in email to, I might have a Chavrus that morning. Okay, we'll be in touch. Vinay, I'll send out an email on Monday, on Motzah Shabbos. Either we'll reconvene on Sunday morning or on Tuesday morning, the day after Shavuos, Mitzvah Hashem. In the meanwhile, we should just...